Next, no zombies. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Good afternoon. Coming up in this portion of the program, a look at some of the ways the nation's cities, towns, and villages may mark Independence Day 2009, celebrating their heritage and the heritage of America. It might inspire you to hit the road or take a closer look at your own backyard. My guest is Eric Model. He's the founder of Journeys into Hidden America. It's a multimedia effort, including a book, a syndicated column, radio, podcasts, other online services, and more. In a nutshell, though, I guess I would say it's all about stories. Eric Model believes in stories and their power for rejuvenation and renewal, their potential for rejuvenation and renewal. In addition to staying tuned to our conversation this afternoon, I'd encourage you to check out the websites www.hiddenamerica.com and www.ericontheroad.com. Eric Model, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Hi, nice to be here.
Would you describe Journeys into Hidden America, the website, for us?
Well, I guess it's a composite. It's a labor of love that evolved some 20, 25 years ago. I was a fan of Charles Kuralt and Garrison Keillor, and I was an armchair traveler wanting to experience it for myself if I had a short weekend or an extended vacation. And in the age before the internet, there was no place to go. I found myself in a bookstore researching bed and breakfast books, festival books, and the like. A trip in particular in the mid-80s to Colorado. I wanted to experience America the way I had gone to Ireland, Scotland, Wales on a Brit Rail pass. And there wasn't any place to go for that. So, and I wanted to feel that I was invited the way Charles Kuralt was, but I wouldn't be invited into the parlor room the way he did. Mm. He was invited. So this was the seed for it, and it having a certain type of travel experience. And I found that as I started to see some of the nooks and crannies of the country, there was so much there. It wasn't on the surface, but it was, in fact, hidden.
Yeah. On the website, you offer people the opportunity to share their places with one another, their stories with one another. What kinds of things do people say to
one
another?
It's interesting that in the era, you know, so much has changed over the 20, 25 years. Go back to Kuralt, and it was from the top down. He was the storyteller. It's a very different time that we have now, given the internet and YouTube and Twitter. And remaking of community. It's interesting how commonality of interest and passion folks can cluster together, and it's a shared experience. I guess I throw out topics and say, look, here's an idea. What do you have to say about it? And folks come back with all sorts of ideas. The Greasy Spoon restaurant's in their place, an interesting a lighthouse bed and breakfast, their July 4th activity, something that's quintessentially American, distinctively American, or for that matter, something that's quintessentially Illinois or New Jersey or Minnesota, what makes us the 50 states in a positive way.
Yeah. What are people saying about Independence Day 2009?
Saying a couple of things. I think as much a celebration, it's a way to be community to sort of collectively exhale because we've endured so much over the last period of time. And between the watershed election of 2008 and what's followed in, you know, our country here, I think folks have started to look internally as to who we are and what we're all about. And as we transform ourselves and come out of what we've been through, in a positive sense, to say as we point America to the 21st century. So it starts in our hometown. I talk about the fact that there are narratives in big cities and small, and right around the bend might be a story. So this year I'm relegated to my hometown because I'm marching with my Little Leaguers in the July 4th parade. But if someone just went down to the town down the road, they might find a different perspective. Yes, it's all American, a common thread, but they'll get a different take on it.
Yeah, there are 4th of July day parades all across the country, and each one has a little bit of a different flavor.
It's amazing throughout the country, the diversity. I read an article recently about how budget cuts are, communities have to scale back on some events, places like San Jose, Hialeah, Florida, Mesa, Arizona, Colorado Springs. But I hearken to an event in Connecticut, the Boombox Parade in Willimantic, Connecticut, where one year the band didn't show up and the local radio station tapped in and had people take their boomboxes and they had the marching band on. So that started some 20 years ago, and every year they have a parade without bands, but they have music.
Yeah. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Absolutely. So I think that's one of the themes for this year, that it is American, but it's American in the sense of 2009.
Yeah. Well, you've hinted largely here at the economic hardship that the country has seen in the last many months now. What advice do you have for families who are thinking staycation or what I call nearcation?
Yeah, I see the local library is a real resource. It's unfortunate that our local library is scaling back with furloughs and the like, but it's a great source. The librarians are resource centers, and it's a good place to start in terms of day trips, storylines, that you're not just necessarily just going to a destination, but that destination has a storyline of its own and a unique one. And you can feel like you traveled a long way without necessarily traveling a long way and without spending a lot of money, too.
What are your favorite books about traveling?
There's a new one that's out, in fact, by Mark Kurlansky, and it's called The Foods of a Younger Land. And he describes it as a portrait of American food before the national highway system, before chain restaurants, and before the frozen food, when the nation's food was seasonal, regional, and traditional from the lost WPA files. And apparently, you remember the Federal Writers Project was part one of the WPA. Part two was intended to be a book called America Eats, but World War II intervened, and that book was never published. So this new book takes those files, which were found at the Library of Congress, and puts them together into a book form. And it's fascinating reading to read what the country was about then and contrast the parallels from that period of time to what we're going through today.
Yeah, is anybody doing that kind of thing today about where we are today and putting stories together a la the WPA?
Well, we're doing that with Main Street Programs. The National Trust for Historic Preservation has a new website, gowithapurpose.com, right now. And they're invoking the idea of creating community for the 21st century based upon an online community. So, again, in that YouTube sense where it's contributory, sort of like crowdsourcing. And I see the new media providing the functional equivalent to what the books and, I guess, the infancy of radio did back in the 1930s.
Yeah. Today in media, we're talking about platforms. I wish there was a better word. What do you think?
It used to be portal and platform. I think it's evolving, the whole thing. The terminology is changing. Folks say the good news is the old rules are out. The bad news is the old rules are out. I think we're in flux, and who knows who's going to decide what the appropriate term is going to be.
Yeah. I found it comforting, though, that in Journeys into Hidden America, there's a reading room, just like the old library.
Yep, I like that. I like the idea of the town square where, in terms of e-commerce, it's on a grassroots level, and the readings were insightful to enhance travels there, whether before the trip or afterwards. The travel experience is just part of the process.
Yeah. We've heard of ecotourism. Now we have heritage tourism. What is it, and how is it doing?
Heritage tourism is the idea that, as I mentioned before, that each community has its story to tell, its own narrative. And communities can decide to take inventory and polish that story in a way that it's going to work for them. If they want tourism in the conventional traditional sense, it's available. If they don't want tourists to come in, it's a sense of who they are. You could use it for something as fundamental as a local podcast to walk down Main Street for historical homes. On the other hand, they're talking in terms of the media future in an age where the trend, they say, is going to be towards localized broadcasting, in-car experience, MP3s, public radio, that there are opportunities for all sorts of stories and done in a way where it creates a public-private partnership between the community interest and within the interest of those that have an interest in promoting that travel experience.
Great local renaissance.
We hope so, because all those stories are there. For some reason, those stories gravitated to New York or Washington or California, but as you know, there are so many in between, too.
Yeah. Well, one of the wonderful things about history is that if you start looking, you'll find wonderful stories about people just like you and me who lived long ago.
Right. And the wonderful heroes Carol used to talk about, the silent heroes there and the everyday heroes. That there are heroes in all sorts of forms. We like to talk about teachers and parents and all that. They're not pop stars and they're not athletes who are the heroes, but we're all heroes to a certain extent.
Yeah. Well, a salute to Charles Carol and others like him, including Garrison Keillor, who you mentioned, and some of the folks at National Public Radio who are doing StoryCorps and other projects.
Absolutely. It's a certain spirit and prism.
Yeah, there we go. Well, there we have to leave it. Eric Modell, thank you very much for talking with me.
Thanks for having me. Happy 4th.
Happy 4th. Eric Modell is the founder of Journeys into Hidden America. It's a multimedia effort, including a book, syndicated column, radio podcasts, and more. And more about our guest and his efforts at www.hiddenamerica.com and www.ericontheroad.com.